Klangvoll. Aus dem Maschinenraum des Musikbetriebes. Der Podcast von Gerald Mertens und Schott Music.
Welcome to a new episode of the monthly Klangvoll podcast. My name is Gerald Mertens. I'm the managing editor of the magazine Das Orchester. Today's guest is Fabienne Krause, director of Classical Next, one of the world's largest fairs for classical music. The 2025 edition of Classical Next will take place in Berlin from May 12 to May 15. Welcome, Fabienne. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for your welcome and happy to be here.
Well, usually this podcast is in German. Today we switch to English, trying to reach out to more international listeners. We are both no native speakers, thus in advance apologizes for our maybe poor language skills. In the next few minutes, we'll be talking about the main challenges for the classical music industry in our times. And of course, we will be talking about possible solutions and new ideas for change. Fabienne, as you are preparing the next edition of Classical Next, and from your point of view, what are the biggest challenges for the promotion of classical music right now when you talk to colleagues on the international level?
Yeah, that's a big question. So, of course, Classical Next exists because of this big question, first of all. So when we started Classical Next in 2012 already, we saw that there is a challenge we have to face. That's why Classical Next was always with a focus on the future of classical music. And we as a platform want to shine a light on what are the current challenges each year. Of course, specific times have different challenges, while other challenges kind of stayed from the beginning. So from the beginning, there was always this big question how to gain new audiences, for example. But it has a different approach nowadays, for example. Yeah, I will come back to that later. I mean, in these times, definitely the most recent challenge are the financial cuts we see, especially here in Berlin, but also in Germany. While I have to say, of course, Germany still is globally seen as the richest funding supporting country or government, so to say, which gives a lot of public funding to the cultural sector. Still, of course, cuts always mean where do we cut things out and what in the political mind is worthwhile cutting and which one is still supported. So I think, as I see it, globally, these cuts have appeared in many, many countries, some before, maybe others will face this later. It definitely also has to do probably with economical crisis worldwide, also after pandemic. While we, especially in Germany, saw a lot of support by the government in challenging times during pandemic and after, even we now don't have that money anymore. So now what already was promised or foreseen is that we have to face now how to find more financial, more sustainable models.
So money and funding is a big question. What about the US orchestras? Because they are not very much publicly funded. They are more or less privately or corporately funded by sponsors and by fundraising, etc. What do you hear from the US market?
Well, I think the US market has had a much more diverse financial source in the past, which also in parts apply for the UK orchestras or the UK sector, for example. So I think now there's a tendency also in Germany to see like how can we diversify our income streams, so not to depend so much on the public funding, but also find solutions, be it like doing better marketing, looking at resources, how can we use them more efficiently, and then also, of course, look at other continents, how did they manage that over time, and what are trends we see happening there. I see that also in the US, there is right now a shift so that the one big income stream was always through donation, which is kind of a parallel economy in the US. Also shifting that even private donation is decreasing, and that they also have to change their way of thinking how to finance culture.
So the question is, first question is about financing, funding. The other question you were talking about is the audience. I think the audience has always been a big issue and will be a big issue in future too. What are other issues which you think are really threatening the orchestras or classical music world, or empowering the classical orchestra music world? Where are the main other points you see?
Well, let me briefly come back to this one big topic, audience development, because, you know, when it was in the past a more general approach of we need younger audiences, now there's this tendency to even diversify the audience much more, to look at parts in society we don't reach with classical or contemporary music that much. So we see, for example, in the past years and also in the upcoming edition, tendencies of like really differentiate what a diverse audience can mean and how to get more people in the concert hall, but also being more involved in the orchestras, in classical music sector in general. So it's all about like, are we really relevant as we could be or should be, reflected as a reflected part of society. So this means like if we look, for example, in the UK, you have 20% of the population is counted as disabled. So that also means not just like people, for example, in wheelchair was what people always first associate with that, but also like neurodiversity, for example, are getting older and have not that mobility anymore. So are we really equipped to include these part of society? Or what we also see is like in the music sector, how do we include people who have to take care of children, of older people in society? How can we include them better? But also, like, of course, ethnicities. Like, if you look in Berlin, for example, you have a huge Turkish community. Are they really represented in the concert halls or orchestras? There is a huge percentage of society we probably don't reach. So what are strategies to really include them and to make our concert halls, our orchestras, like, or all the sectors of the classic music brand, how can we attract them? Are we really relevant for them?
So relevance of the arts institutions, especially of the classical music as institutions, as one of the main topics. Mm-hmm. Looking back to the classical Next in 24, there were more than 1,400 music professionals from 49 countries. And in four conference days, one could choose between more than 30 sessions and over 50 expo stands in the ground floor, presenting forward-thinking artists, projects, organizations, and classical music professionals. Fabienne, looking forward to the May 25 edition of Classical Next in Berlin. What can people expect in general from the setting of the conference in this year?
Maybe from the little bit as a background for those who don't know Classical Next that much. So how Classical Next and its program is selected is by an independent jury of experts from all continents, from specific fields who have different expertise. So there was already last year a jury meeting who looked at proposals from over 30, 40 different countries. And we had like proposals really from a wide range, 400 proposals of different topics. So each year we make sure that all these sectors and continents and regions are represented in the program. So there will be always topics dealing with new markets, future of funding and finances. There will always be a sector represented for future listeners and audience engagement. We already talked about. Also, it's about new music, new formats, sonic influences and inspirations. A big topic, and we got a lot of proposals for, was also music for positive change. So the societal aspect, as well as new technologies, promising startup initiatives, new better ways of getting things done, so a very practical one. And last but not least, also the future of music journalism, PR and marketing. So that these are the big areas. We always select the proposals and categorize them for. And for this year, we had a specific approach also beside the jury. We wanted to really dig deep into each of the sectors again to look at like, maybe there are not really proposals submitted who tackle aspects we want to shine a light on at Classical Next. So there were expert groups founded specifically for the orchestra sectors, but also for the labels and for tech. And these topics are also right now in development, so to say. So, for example, for the orchestra sector, this will be something like rethinking the model for orchestras today. Also, the right and the wrong ways to brand orchestras, which is always a big challenge. And we see that there is a lack of understanding. Also, evolving social roles through community connections. So what an orchestra can contribute to this aspect. Championing a contemporary repertoire. So examples we saw with the DSO. They had a recent season and shining a light on female composers, saying like each concert at least has to have a female composer, topics like that. Politics and orchestras, that was also discussed in this expert group. So how political should an orchestra be? And last but not least, also orchestras as a safe workplace and musicians' health. So these are a range of topics only for one sector. So you can see how complex this conference is. So for each sector, there are really important topics. We want to have an exchange globally and look for promising solutions. For the labels, this can mean what does success mean for labels in future? How can a label be future-oriented? What role will labels play in record sales, artists and repertoire development? How will interactions with DSPs evolve? And what label services can benefit artists, consumers and distributors? And saying that on top of that, it's always the main mission to, of course, have the sectors sit at one table and exchange about topics so that we have or the perspective and exchange about a specific topic held under discussion, and find ways to look forward to.
Can you give us an impression about the setting of the conference? So where is it located? How will the organization run, etc., etc.? So what is your preview on the setting of the conference?
Well, luckily we were supported last year by the Senate for Culture and Social Cohesion in Berlin. We are now in Berlin as the new home host city, and we have great venues which worked really well last year, which is the Colosseum in Prenzlauer Berg, a new reopened huge cinema complex, which is like really ideal setup for very different formats of exchanging of panels, to do networking. You have the expo in the center. You have various options for having receptions and all kinds of interactive formats. But also newly, so for this year, this is really new, as a cooperation with the IMZ in Vienna, the International Media Center in Vienna. They are also producing a similar event happening now in February called Avant-Premiere, and they helped us to collect films we want to show at Classical Next, like classical music films. So we thought, since we are in the cinema, this is an ideal platform also to incorporate the film market and the film sector at Classical Next. And then, of course, we have the Showcase Festival taking place at Holzmarkt, at the riverbanks of the Spree, where you can sneak into like short concerts. So it's a showcase festival, which is not really common in the classical music world, because it's kind of a spot where a soloist or ensemble can present themselves in a different way and shine a light on different ways how to use the stage. What can be different ways to present yourself, and maybe different ways of concert designs. So what will be discussed during the conference will also be shown live at the Showcase Festival, also with club showcases and DJs at Carta Blau, which is like one of the hippest clubs in Berlin. So and there are, of course, all different formats, like the Innovation Award. We have a fellowship program for the new generation, supported by international institutions and music conservatoires. And last but not least, we last year did a little boat trip at the end, and so that was very prominent and popular. So we will do that again as a last day fun activity, and also to network.
Well, that sounds very great. And now let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the program. So you touched a couple of points, but what are the most promising issues from your perspective? I saw why classical music is not just European. So the very European-centristic angle of programming, or rethinking accessibility, which you have been talking about, mm-hmm. or make it happen, break the cycle to we should. You know,
yeah.
I think there are many, many, many issues. And perhaps you can dig down in some of the points which you really think are a new step beyond just audience development.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the examples you picked out is also one of my favorite topics I look forward to is make it happen. So each year we have these conferences, like what to do differently and how to make a change. And now this will be a session where we are really honest with each other, saying like, okay, we talked about this many, many times. What is the problem? why can't we make it happen? So to dig a bit deeper, what are hindrances to really analyze and getting the perspective from the all the sectors. Why can't you change? What are aspects we have to maybe look a bit closer to? So that is one session I'm also looking forward to. I also look forward to tech presentations. So we have a virtual reality session by the Philharmonia Orchestra from London, who show different ways of an audience maybe who never has been to a concert so far to experience classical music in a different way and to have an immersive experience at the expo in one of the cinema rooms. I mentioned a lot of topics regarding labels and orchestras. But as I said, there is a lot on the topic music for positive change, so for the societal aspects. This can run from sustainability, like how to make concerts or touring more sustainable, the aspect of accessibility, which I already mentioned, music and health, but also more and more important topic on parenting and caretaking as we are becoming an older society, which also is maybe in conflict with our work realities. So these are aspects, for example, and also looking forward to continue discussions. So last year we had this discussion already in one of the sessions where an honest question was asked to the orchestras, do you think, do we really think we are relevant to the entire society? And no one raised their hand. So there was a very honest reaction. And now we have to really look into what has happened since then, because there were strategies represented on how to renew recruiting practices, for example.
Well, I see in the program there is another spot with the London Philharmonic Orchestra reframing the orchestra's role in society through community partnerships. Mm-hmm. Do you can give you a little preview what's happening in this context?
Mm-hmm. So this is a session from the London Philharmonic Orchestra who did very extended work with communities outside of the capital or outside of the major cities, engaging with communities, not just as one project, which what usually happens very often is that you get some funding, you do a project with other communities, and then you once you have finished your project, there is no really continuation, so to say. And the London Philharmonic Orchestra has done a really impactful community work, which was spent over a much longer period of time, so to say, and they will reflect on the outcome of that. But I don't want to do a spoiler alert here.
Well, sometimes a spoiler alert might be quite helpful to attract new listeners.
That's true. But I want to also mention another orchestra topic or session I look forward to is also coming from the South Bank Center. They will do a session on how to actually work in a different way as an arts hub with orchestras. So different models of orchestra settings. So we have the work with Aurora Orchestra, who play by heart and are much more flexible in concert design than other orchestras, maybe resident orchestras. But also with the Para Orchestra, which is an inclusive orchestra working with disabled musicians and different setups. I've been to one of their concerts. It's really impressive how they make that work. And also, of course, relevance in terms of using actual repertoire. So I also look forward to have that session and to inspire other orchestras to look into other models and how you can attract different audiences, but also how to be more flexible within the four walls of your institution.
Personally, I very much looking forward to the session. Is your brand an audience barrier? You already mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Because it's from Cecil Nielsen and Søren Rasmussen from Rasmussen Nordic from Denmark. And last year, I remember very well, they presented the audience toolbooks, which is now available in English and it's available in German. So it was really a blockbuster from the last mm-hmm. Classical Next. And I hope that there will be many impulses in the orchestra audience development by this book. And I think the brand issue is another one where many orchestras don't even think about, but in the nitty-gritty and in the detail, there are so many points why audiences don't choose your brand and don't like your brand. I think mm-hmm. this would be very interesting in this session. So we don't want to spoil everything, yeah. Of course. But if people ask now, okay, why should I attend? So why should people register and come along? What do you think makes Classical Next so special?
Mm-hmm. So my first answer to this will be, of course, I want to sell tickets. But on the other hand, you know, we going back to the aspect of what, beside all these financial aspects and cuts and questions of how to make it more sustainable and working in the future is always the bigger question, like, is classical music relevant and in general is culture relevant for society? And I think to have this huge gathering with international colleagues from all the continents can give an answer to that and strengthen the sector of classical music and art music, but also put a word out. So in the way you also as a journalist is covering the event and writing about it, and then putting the word out what was discussed and why classical music is relevant, especially in these times of societal, many societal crises, is one thing, because we need a lobby. We need a, of course, in Germany we need a lobby, but also internationally we need a lobby to say, like, culture is so important, it's the glue of society, and it has to be listened by the politicians. Otherwise, we don't have a tool to justify that we also deserve part of the money society gives to specific sectors in society, governments. So this is one bigger mission. So you are part of this community of like-minded people who are passionate about the genre of classical music, and to be amongst them and to kind of have a common voice and lobby is in itself a very strong argument. But of course, as I mentioned, it is even so important that the sectors globally learn from each other. So Classical Next stands for, like, really hands-on knowledge, to learn from each other, to share what you experienced in your daily work, which you can take back home and do it, hopefully, or trying to be a catalyst also for change. You know, if you see, like, okay, maybe there were countries before Germany who experienced this big cuts. How did they manage? What can we take on to not start from scratch, so to say, but take on the knowledge these countries already have. And of course, it's the biggest classical music, focused on classical music event worldwide, specifically focused on this genre and for looking into ways and finding solutions. So, and last but not least, be inspired. Be amongst colleagues, be inspired what other people, artists or colleagues do around the world. And we have so many great feedback each year from the delegates sending us a questionnaire that it was very impactful to their careers and being part of this global community.
Well, we are slightly getting to the end. From your engine room as an organizer of Classical Next, what do you specifically wish for the classical music industry in the coming next years?
Well, to actually prove the relevance, to even find a way to show society this is really impactful for society. It is relevant to all of society, not to just a smaller percentage, so that classical music finds a way to reach the right channels, to present itself like this is a very vivid art form. It's a living art form. It's full of really great art, and it's inspiring for many, many more people. And it's maybe also to use this richness we have with classical in the classical music world. Like, we have beautiful concert houses, we have like artists who are trained so well, who have like the highest standard of playing an instrument. To use all these resources in a better way, in a more maybe looking forward way, and in a more resourceful way. And so I hope that there will be, even with these cuts, ways to shine a light on all these aspects.
Well, hope springs eternal, even in the classic music industry. We are happy. If you could raise your interest as listener in the upcoming edition of Classical Next. If you want to know more or register, just look on the website classicalnext.com. We look forward to seeing you in Berlin in May 25. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.